Chapter 1, Where It All Starts. A few weeks ago, I was talking with the owner of a small network marketing company that's based in Utah. She'd been in the industry for nearly 30 years, and she was expressing her frustration to me about how there were other companies out there that were much bigger than hers and doing a lot more business, and yet they offered an inferior product. A couple companies in particular really irked her. She just couldn't stand it that they were beating her, even though she had something better to offer people. This woman was a product developer at heart. She spent all her time working with the scientists and researchers in the lab. She knew all the ins and outs of a particular product and how everything else out there stacked up against hers. She rattled off all these statistics to me about how this other company only has 24 bio-super-duper enzymes per ounce, whereas hers has 67 per ounce. And this other company's concentration of hyperflavo-oxidizing compounds per 100 mil simply was not enough to be effective. And so on and so on. What she didn't understand is that it's not about the product. It's about how you communicate the idea of the product. She was a victim of the build a better mousetrap mentality. She believed Henry David Thoreau when he said the world would beat a path to her door if she built a better one. But the fact is, the world doesn't beat a path to anyone's door simply because they built a better product. The world only beats paths to the doors of people who do a good job of letting the world know about their product. I tried to explain this to her. It didn't matter that she thought her product was superior. It didn't even matter if her product actually did work better for people. This was completely irrelevant. All that mattered was that these other companies had done a better job of marketing their product. She seemed very offended by this notion and almost implied that this was a dirty way of doing business. But regardless of whether we like it or not, this is the way things work. Great products are a dime a dozen. It's great marketing, great salesmanship, that's hard to come by. And so, the first thing that must be established before going anywhere with the discussion about network marketing is this. Nothing else in a business matters if good sales and marketing aren't being used. This does not just mean the network marketing companies themselves. Each individual distributor is their own business, and so it applies to them as well. And despite what you've been told or what you may think, your company is not going to do your marketing for you. I was definitely able to relate to the owner of that company, though, because for me, this was one of the hardest concepts to grasp, and it took quite a long time to fully understand it. I had always been so caught up with finding the latest, greatest products, and even more so having a killer compensation plan. But I was looking for love in all the wrong places, so to speak. When it finally clicked and my focus shifted to sales and marketing, everything changed. Things actually started working. I learned that a marketing-centered business is an entirely different kind of operation than a product-centered business. And I discovered that the ability to sell, and more importantly, understanding how and why people do what they do, is by far the most potent money-making skill you can ever acquire. It's the beginning and end of all business success. The wealthiest and most prosperous people in any field all have one thing in common. They know how to sell themselves, their products, their services, their ideas. And once you know how, you can literally join any business, go anywhere, and be successful. It's like knowing how to crack a safe anytime you want. All the other stuff is just a bonus. So it's critical that we start with this foundation. There's only one minor problem. The wild array of techniques being taught out there in the industry are about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. They range from all-out lies and blatant falsehoods to understandable misconceptions and common myths. It's ironic because sales and selling have always been dirty words in MLM that everyone's afraid to use. Some of the standard nonsense you'll hear is, "The product sells itself." Or, "This is so easy, even a child could do it. I mean, who doesn't want to earn an extra $5,000 a month working just 8 to 12 hours a week?" Or, "It's not selling, it's sharing." This is devastating to your business and this industry as a whole because, hey, if it's just sharing, There's no need to learn any kind of sales skills, right? Of course, not only is this false, it's a guaranteed method for falling flat on your face. This fallacy also has a very innocent cousin that appears to be harmless but is just as destructive. It's commonly known as word-of-mouth advertising. Now, hold on just a minute, you say. I thought the reason network marketing is so powerful is because we use word-of-mouth, which everyone knows is the most powerful form of advertising. And it is. But you and I don't use it. As the owners of our business, we have a very definite financial interest in the sale of our products and our opportunity. Because of this, when we share them with someone, it is not word of mouth, it is selling. In its truest form, word of mouth means that the person who talks to others about a given product has nothing to gain by doing so. There are certainly varying degrees of word of mouth where people can be incentivized to talk about something, but it's at its best when they just genuinely like the product so much they feel compelled to tell others about it. It's an unbiased third-party review. You and I are not unbiased. We are not third-party. Can we harness this power? Absolutely. We're able to, just like any business is. But while our customers can practice word of mouth, we personally cannot. A business owner talking about their own business is never word of mouth. The reason this idea is so dangerous is because, again, it gives the impression that all we're doing is sharing, not selling, and therefore there's no need to trouble ourselves with learning how to sell. Then, of course, there's the flip side to all of this. The people who teach that we should always be selling. I like to call this the evangelism approach. This is scary stuff. Some people take it to such an extreme they almost shouldn't be allowed out in public. In two of my previous MLM companies, I was told that you can never say the wrong thing to the right person, and you can never say the right thing to the wrong person. So, when in doubt, blurt it out. Since I was dedicated to doing whatever it took, and I followed my upline's advice to the T, this resulted in some truly idiotic behavior. For my son/sponsor, who was equally as committed, it led to some near disastrous encounters. I remember one time he and a friend of his almost got a severe beatdown from three karate guys they had attempted to prospect at a kiosk stand in the Mall of America. They were trying out a new prospecting technique they just learned that was particularly offensive and demeaning to the victim at hand. It entailed using some tricky reverse psychology to basically embarrass the person into exploring their options about making money. Needless to say, the martial arts practitioners weren't having it. A lot of the over-the-top methods in use come from misunderstanding about the role that enthusiasm plays in our business. Yes, it's true. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." But many people take this to mean that enthusiasm is the only thing required to be successful. Far from the case. And that the more you flip out about your opportunity, the more successful you'll be. There's a big difference, though, between speaking confidently about your opportunity and foaming at the mouth. Generally speaking, this only makes the situation worse. Other misconceptions about sales involve the use of arm twisting, hard close, and sometimes even downright deceptive tactics. There's a popular line of thought in traditional one-to-one sales that when a prospect says, "No, I'm not interested," this really means, "Yes, please harass me some more," and it's the signal to really pull out all the stops. But in truth, if someone says they're not interested, believe it or not, it actually means they're not interested. Shocking, I know. This is exactly the kind of mentality that gives network marketers and salespeople in general a bad name. It's also why so many people cringe at the thought of having to sell. They don't want to have to lower themselves to this kind of behavior. But take heart. Sales does not have to be this ridiculous or this hard. In fact, when combined with good marketing, it's much easier and much different than most people realize. So where do we go from here? Well, in the second half of this chapter, and most of the next one as well, we need to go over some basic groundwork before we really get into the good stuff. First things first, we have to figure out what exactly sales and marketing are, how they're different from each other, how they're not different from each other, and how they should be used together. Let's start with sales. In the strictest definition, sales is an exchange of goods or services for something of value. Basically, anytime money changes hands. In reality, it's much bigger than that. The art of selling is really the ability to influence others in the way they think or act. A better term might be the art of persuasion. If you think this sounds a bit shady, don't worry. We all use techniques of persuasion every day, whether we realize it or not. You see, it's not just when someone pays money for something. It's when a parent tries to impart their values to their children. It's when one person asks another person for a date. It's when a politician tries to persuade a nation to do one thing or another. All of these require selling. Whether with our spouses, kids, parents, friends, coworkers, bosses, or customers, the truth is, none of us have a choice about being a salesperson. We all try to do and say things that move others in the direction we desire. Therefore, it only makes sense that we be good at it. For the purposes of what we're talking about here, however, we'll mostly use the word sales to mean direct sales or person-to-person. Now, when most people think of selling or direct sales, they usually think of pure cold calling, names list, referral, misery. There are very few things that put such a bad taste in people's mouths as the idea of having to sell something to someone. Why is this? It's because we hate it when someone tries to do it to us. We don't like being backed into a corner, and so we don't like being the one doing it to others. There's nothing more uncomfortable than trying to convince someone they want something when they really don't, especially when we know full well that they don't. Oh, and let's not forget the constant shame and embarrassment of being rejected. With this kind of selling, the kind that pays no attention to the prospect's true wants or needs, from the moment you enter their life, they're thinking of nothing but ways to avoid you or make you go away. Even if they are polite to you on the surface, half the time it's just because they don't have the heart to tell you what they're really thinking. It's a constant uphill battle. You're always working against them, not with them. The mission being to take them head-on and force your idea or product upon them whether they like it or not. Every step of the way you're met with resistance, which has to be immediately countered, just like two fighters in a ring. Eventually, it degenerates into a sheer battle of willpower. Whoever sticks to their guns the longest and wrestles the other into submission wins. This is the natural assumption about sales, and it shows in traditional MLM. It's a very confrontational way of going about it. You could even say some people approach it like an argument, by trying to belittle or shame the other person into admitting they're wrong and conceding to the opposite point of view. But, as legendary copywriter John Carlton says, no one in the history of the world has ever won an argument with another human being. Because in the end, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. This is not good sales, and it's not fun. It really takes a rare breed of person to actually enjoy and be good at this type of selling, which is one of the biggest reasons why people don't sign up. Even if they believe everything you're saying is possible, the potential for gain is not enough to overcome their natural fear of being rude and getting rejected. No one wants to chase other people around all day and force themselves to be someone they're not. That's not normal. What's really amazing about this is that so much time and energy is put into trying to motivate distributors to get them to overcome their fear of rejection, while virtually no time is spent on trying to make their job easier. We're constantly told by our superiors that rejection is just something we have to accept and learn to deal with. It's all just a part of the process, and we have to go through so many no's to finally get a yes. In the end, we're told, it's all worth it. But rather than exhorting people to get used to and accept this miserable state of existence, how about working on removing rejection as even being a problem in the first place? Most people assume this is just the way things are. But what if you never had to face rejection again? To the vast majority of distributors, this sounds like a fantasy. But to someone who has learned the tactics and procedures of attracting business to them, it's the other way around. Rejection is practically unheard of, and yeses are the norm. Do you know what the difference between a consultant and a sales rep is? Respect. A consultant has it, and a sales rep doesn't. This is because a consultant is perceived as being valuable, while a sales rep is perceived as being a nuisance. Why is this? Essentially, it's because a consultant is a sales rep that has learned how to do marketing. And just because your company business card says consultant on it does not mean you are one. I've fallen for this one before. But the important thing here is not your title or what you call yourself. It's that when combined with marketing, sales takes on a much different form than what most people are used to. So, what is marketing anyway? There's really a lot of confusion about what it is and how to do it. I'm sure you've heard the saying before, no one likes to be sold, but everyone loves to buy. And I'm sure, like most salespeople, you were never really given a good explanation of what that meant. Well, the difference lies in whose decision it is. When you try to sell something to someone, it's your decision being forced on them. When someone wants to buy something, it's their decision. When it's the seller's decision, there's resistance from the start, and the entire process is one big headache for everyone involved. But when it's the buyer's decision, it's easy, pain-free, and it's a win-win for everyone. So, how do you get people to buy? It's pretty simple, actually. By giving them stuff they already want. As network marketers, we're often told that everyone wants what we have. But is this really true? Does everyone really want what we have, or do we just think they do? Big difference. So, if everyone loves to buy, and this is the key to making your job easier and more profitable, doesn't it make more sense to focus on helping people buy things they want rather than trying to sell them the stuff they don't? This is exactly what marketing is. I like to think of marketing as creating a situation where people can buy on their own. We'll talk about the specifics of creating this situation, aka your marketing system, a little bit later. But in order for that to happen, the most important thing to remember is this. Good marketing is about tapping into needs that already exist. If you're not doing that, nothing else you do matters. Now, within marketing, there are a lot of different activities. Picture an umbrella, and underneath that umbrella are many different ways of promoting a business or a product. Direct sales just happens to be one of them. There are also things like online advertising, PPC, article submission, e-zines, banners, etc. Offline advertising, direct mail, classifieds, postcards, etc. Copywriting, the words you use in your ads. Marketing pieces, websites, CDs, DVDs, special reports, MP3s, etc. And a whole bunch of other tools and activities. But the central theme to keep in mind when it comes to sales and all these other methods of promotion is that they are really the same thing, only in different form. You see, when you boil it down, marketing is just selling in print, or in person, or via the internet, or TV, or MP3, or whatever other form of media you choose. Pretty simple, huh? This takes the mystery out of it, because the message you would give to your prospect one-on-one is for the most part the same message you should strive to give them in your other marketing efforts. Yes, there are differences, but only in the actual mediums themselves, not the techniques or principles being used. For example, no other medium offers the same interaction and personal feedback you get by actually talking with someone, even though with the internet things are evolving and more real-time interaction is being used. And so you're able to customize your message to each individual better than you're able to with any other medium. But whether it's an actual person, a website, a CD, a sales letter, or an article, these are all different ways, tools of communicating a message to someone, and the core elements remain the same. What applies in one of them carries right on over to the next. They're more alike than they are different. They all utilize the same motivating factors, emotional triggers, logical sequences, and basic principles of human behavior. Here's something that's truly amazing, though. While a person can have great sales skills, their marketing can absolutely stink, and vice versa. Why does this happen? There are a couple of reasons, I think. The first is that, as small business owners, we often view marketing as something that only big corporations with massive advertising budgets do. We get mental images of Budweiser frogs, catchy slogans, and obscenely expensive TV commercial time. We see it as being reserved for people in stiff suits who reside in tall glass office buildings, not small-time home-based business owners like ourselves. Or even worse, we figure we don't have to worry about it because we assume our company has it taken care of for us. Big mistake. Unfortunately, as we'll talk about later on, the marketing materials our company provides us with are sometimes the very worst pieces we could possibly rely on. And the second reason, I believe, comes back to the misunderstanding about how sales and marketing should work together, or that they even need to work together at all. Most people view sales and marketing as two totally separate professions. If you go through almost any college business course, this is what they'll tell you. This is very dangerous thinking because they should always be joined at the hip. When used in combination, they feed off each other and can exponentially increase one another's effectiveness. I believe it's absolute lunacy to try and become a good salesperson without having a solid marketing system to back you up. It's half the equation. That's like saying, I'm going to plant 30 acres of crop this year by hand, when you've got an enormous John Deere tractor sitting around just waiting to be used. You're only making it harder on yourself. Your marketing system can plant the seeds of your crops, aka your prospects, for you. Then you can use one-to-one sales to harvest them in. In this way, you get more done in less time with less effort. So, to put all of this in a way that's more meaningful to your business, the job of your marketing is to bring you qualified prospects. The job of your sales process is to close the deal and build a relationship with the best ones. Could the roles be reversed? Can you use direct sales to find your prospects? Yes, and actually, this is what most MLMers do, but it's terribly ineffective. This is exactly why sales is so hard for most people. The majority of distributors flounder around in the water, wasting their time on prospects and activities they shouldn't be concerned with, trying to do themselves the amount of work that should be handled by four or five other marketing pieces. What about using your marketing system to generate your prospects and close them for you? Is this possible? Yes, and in fact, this should be your goal, to get your marketing to the point where you personally no longer have to sell. There is a trick to this, though. One-on-one relationships play a very important role in your business, and you don't ever want to completely remove them. It's just important that you know when, where, and how they should be used. We'll get into this some more later. For now, let's go over some sales fundamentals and then transition our way into marketing. Remember, what's true in one is almost always true in the other.